Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. Place. Sweet surrender. Place of unfailing confidence. That once the matter's been truly transferred, there's absolutely no place except rest. Hallelujah. I glorify you and worship you, Father. Hallelujah. You're going to have to help me because something just on me so strong and on you. Just magnify Him. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Granddaddy will be 90 years old on Tuesday. Called me the other day, just yesterday or the day before, setting up a big hog hunt for this week. Last month or so, I've called him or he's called me during the day. What are you doing, Granddaddy? Oh, we just poured out 10 yards of concrete or 15 or 20 or something. I'm waiting for it to get where we can finish it. Pouring concrete at 90 years old. Some of you are talking about you can't hardly get around at 35 or 40. You ought to be beat with a wet noodle. His younger, most beautiful sister, my Aunt Leslie, is with him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's give her a great big hand. She has a friend with her, an adopted per se. We're glad that she's here with us. And I just appreciate Aunt Leslie. You wouldn't know it if you weren't around her all your life like I've been. She's been Holy Ghost-filled intercessor, a true intercessor, praying. And some of my greatest letters I've ever received through the years at this church have been her writing me and sharing her times of intercession for us and for my ministry. Hallelujah. And that means so much. It means so much. As we live and breathe around here, intercession. We know God doesn't do anything unless He gets some kind of authority. Sometimes people tell you, "Oh, I'm praying for you." They prayed for you when they saw you coming down the sidewalk. Because the last time you departed with them, you said, "Pray for me." And they'd forgot all about you until they sent the popcorn prayer up when they saw you in the parking lot. Well, they didn't lie, per se. Or they got a call, "Okay, would you pray?" And then not much goes up, and then just before you close them sleepy little old eyes after a big supper meal, and, "Oh, I told them I'd pray. God help them." You're making light of, well, he said, this is what he said. In James, what kind of prayer that really makes a difference. He described it with adjectives. He said the effectual, meaning your affections or affections are poured into it. like as if it belonged to you or had something relative related to you or your circumstances, in that to the extent your emotions and your full intent got involved in what you were petitioning for. The effectual secondary adjective, fervent. I mean, it was coming up from some place where true meaning and character came from. That's why sometimes people say, I don't understand it. I know that God has stood in the gap at times when I'd pray for people and they'd be a life and death situation. He'd raise them up. And then I'd hold a little sick cat in my hand, pray and it'd die. And people would say, well, I don't understand it. If I couldn't raise the cat, that the enemy will go to work on you and say, if I couldn't heal the bird, why? I must not have much. I don't know if it'll help if I pray for my kid when they're at death's door. Believe me. Even though you like to think things are all across the board, the human spirit that is derived and gets its well-being in Christ, it knows the difference between the effectualness and ferventness of you, my God, when your back's up. Wait a minute. That's my kid. That's my child. It'll reach down in a reservoir that it just can't hardly find for a pet or a dog or your cat that's coughing up a fur ball. It just will reach down way past into a place where the power of God absolutely lives, and it'll bring forth an effectual ferventness that'll change things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Although you can get where you can do even those minuscule things. But a lot of times when a person tells me, I prayed for you, I say thank you, because I'll take all the prayer. But my God, when certain people say, I've been praying, I know that it wasn't popcorn. It wasn't a last minute, now I lay me down to sleep. It wasn't, oops, my favorite program's coming on, I'll turn it off just long enough to say, oh, Father, help them right now, because I know the walker's about to come on and I want to watch him real quick. So, God, help him. You could have saved that breath to suck down your tea. Because unless it came from some place, now, the speed or the accuracy or the momentarily impromptu, that doesn't have any ill effect on it. You could pray and just say in a moment's time, step up to the bat, I mean an emergency, and say, Jesus. But if everything inside of you where effectual ferventness was held came and stood in the place of that word Jesus, you could change a whole world in a moment's time. So it wasn't the length of your prayer, but it was how much you put into it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't plan on that exhortation. What do you call that one, Kathy? Cats and fur balls? Hallelujah. So, that's why broadcasting your seed, I just tell everybody, I want you all praying. That's okay. It's okay because maybe in the mix you'll hit one of those ones that'll go into effectual fervent. But I'd rather have about three that when I look them in the eye and say, my God, I'm going through something. Will you pray? And if they say, yes, I will, then I know at some point in their day they're going to carry it to a place called done. And they're going to go in with me to a place where they're going to treat it like it was their burden to bear. And when they treat it like it's their burden to bear, things will happen. So I'd rather have three than prayer lines, petitions, put it on the internet, get it all out there. Okay, that'll be good, because maybe in the millions that you reach, somebody will treat it like it's a real deal. That's why when I'm going to bat for myself, it's not necessary that everybody knows. But boy, I like the ones that do know. Hallelujah. He just wants you to understand how that works. Hallelujah. There's no calculators in heaven. Got 15,000 praying now. Need a few more. No. Elijah was a man of like passion. He changed the whole climate. Prayed one prayer and stopped raining. 3.5 years later, he said, "Oh, I think that God wants me to pray again." And then he prayed again, and the whole nation received rain that stopped the famine and brought forth God's restorative power. So one of you can change everything if you can go into effectual ferventness. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, why don't you stretch your faith this way and help me. Hallelujah. Father, I love you. I glorify you and thank you for all of these who love you so much. Who you are and what you are to us. Everything, Jesus. Oh, we love you so much. We love you so much. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Now, as we examine just a portion. Just a portion of your truth this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth, and thy word is truth. We thank you for it. Precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we start in Colossians and then we'll go back to Ephesians. Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we have I think he wants to talk to you primarily on your inheritance and walking it out and standing in it to the measure that, like Deanne was saying, the report. So what are you going to stand in? What's going to be your reality? Because you do have such a godly inheritance. Such a godly inheritance. Well, Paul collaborates, obviously, with himself by the Holy Spirit in these two epistles that we'll look at that'll have a cross-reference and collaborating with each other concerning that inheritance and where we are in it. Let's look at down about verse 12 of chapter 1 in Colossians. And then we'll, as I said, we'll get ready. We'll turn right over to Ephesians. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Well, I'm one of those. You're one of them. So what do we have? We've got an inheritance as sons and daughters. He's translated us, or has delivered us, from the power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. I've been translated. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What are you? Well, naturally speaking, I'm a Floridian, a U.S. citizen. But who I am really is I am a citizen of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Who? Jesus. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now Paul is really wonderful here when he begins to describe the Godhead and the power of it, and exactly what the second member of the Godhead prior to His coming was responsible for. Who is the image? He's still talking about Jesus here, the one we know as Jesus, the Logos, the second member of the Godhead. Who is the image of the invisible God? Now the King James just says the firstborn of every creature. You could carry that on, that same thought out, and say that He is the image. The image of what? The firstborn of every creature. Meaning this, He's about to step you over into His deity and tell you that all things derive their being or actually consist by this second member of the Godhead. And when it says He is the firstborn of every creature, He's saying that every being, not only human, but animal, everything that was ever created, He is the prototype in the sense that everything consists or comes out of or came at one time out of who He is. Jesus. We know Him as Jesus. In eternity's past, He was known in the Godhead as the Logos. He became His Son when He stepped down into a human body. Those three didn't carry on conversations in 50 billion years ago. And well, you, Son, would you come over? In His deity, He's co-equal. He's co-equal. In fact, when we talk about creation, Colossians is telling us, if you want to get real specific about it, creation came out of the second member, the Logos. You say, well, God, my Father, spoke it. Well, He did, but where it got its source, where it actually got the molecular structure and all of it, whatever makes up anything, whether it's living and breathing or plant, where it's animal or human, has a spirit, it got its being in the second member of the Godhead. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him, we're still talking about Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Now He says visible or invisible. The things that we cannot see, those spiritual things, invisible things, it's telling you He wants you to know that this one that you call the Lamb, everything that you see in the earth, and everything that you cannot see behind the scenes in the invisible realm, except for God Himself, all things were created by Him. All angelic beings came out of the Logos, the second member of the Godhead. And it spells that out. It actually spells that out in verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be, and now He begins to name, thrones, dominions. These are classifications for angelic beings. Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. Still talking to the second member. And they were created for Him. Hallelujah. He's the head of all things. He's the head of all things. All angels were created by... You say, well, God did that. Yes, He did. But you want to get specific? The second member of the Godhead stepped up and created. In Hebrews, it talks about an innumerable. Innumerable. Meaning, you can't... We don't have a calculation. Innumerable host of angels. That all came out of Him. That all came out of Him. He created it. Well, a lot of times we'll think of principalities and powers and all those things that are spiritual and invisible to us in the negative connotation. And we think about those things in which we will turn and look at just briefly in Ephesians as something that we're wrestling against and fighting against. But listen, all these things were created by Him and for Him at one time. It's just that one third of them fail. Now there are still, when the Word talks about principalities and powers, there are still an equally and double amount of principalities and powers and thrones and dominions working in the realm of light. Hallelujah. These have not all transferred over into darkness. But He was before all things, and by Him, the Word says, all things consist. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created, who? By Jesus, the one we call Jesus now in eternity's past, known as the Logos. For Him and He, verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head. Everybody say head. He's the head of the body. What body? The church. Hallelujah. It says it right there after. And He is the head of the body, the church. Now, how many of you are part of that church? Amen. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. And He was the firstborn from the dead, spiritually speaking and physically. 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Hallelujah. All fullness. Now, turning back over to Ephesians, and as we're kind of reversing our pages here, we get to 6 before we get to the first part of Ephesians. And we just read in chapter 6, verse 12, a very familiar portion of Scripture to us. For it says, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against these. But He's talking about the ones that are opposing our inheritance. We have an inheritance. Glory be to God. He's not talking about the 2/3 of those that are standing down as angels of true light and are bringing forth our inheritance for us. He's talking about that when we are come to opposition, or when we do come to opposition, we are up against a ruling class of angelic host that He classifies here, as He says, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Well, obviously, there is spiritual righteousness in heavenly places and angelic beings that are carrying out all the requests of God's saints as they pray to Him and as God answers those things. But hallelujah, we're part of an inheritance, are we not? Now let's look at chapter 1. Hallelujah, Ephesians 1. Let's look at verse 16. He says here in verse 16, in a prayer, He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, you Ephesians, making mention of you, and He's in talking about the entire body of Christ, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, who? Jesus. The eyes of your understanding, that they'll be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling. Why does He want your eyes enlightened? So that you could know what is the hope of your calling, and second part in the foundation of all this, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance. That is your inheritance that He's created for you. Hallelujah. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance which is not just to come, but is present tense. Hallelujah. And if you do not live, and we were going over this Wednesday night, out of this treasury, this reservoir of this inheritance, you will obviously have to be doomed to live, or you're destined to live your whole life out, even as a born-again believer, living off some kind of reservoir of the flesh that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But here He says this. He says that the eyes of your understanding, how important it is for us to come to the full revelation of this. He prayed this, that the eyes of your understanding will be so enlightened. Enlightened for what? That I would know the hope of the calling that He has for me. And I want to have a full, I mean, absolute, without any impairment to vision, an absolute spotless understanding of what kind of inheritance that I stand in. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to me or to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. What? When did this power transition? When did it come into play for us? Which He brought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. In where? Heavenly places. Now the places is italicized, meaning it wasn't there in the Greek. But nevertheless, the thought is pure. In heavenly places. That's where Christ is seated. Far above all. Notice here when he says that Christ is seated far above all principalities. He could have just said far above principalities. He wanted you to know that He is the head of all things in the church. And He's got a ruling class of principalities and powers that are working with Him and for Him as the head of the church. And they're working with us. But there is an opposition that is taking place against us that we found in Ephesians 6. That when we do come into wrestling matches and things are not real good for us, it's not the good ones we're wrestling against, it's the bad ones. But here He just was inclusive, and just said all. He's just the head over all of them. Hallelujah. He's got the ones that are working for Him. He's their head. And He is certainly the head over all those who have opposed Him from eternity's past. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He says far above all. Everybody say all. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He's again naming all these ruling classes of angels. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Meaning there will never ever be. We know what's happening, what's going to happen to the second bunch. The worst of worst. They're going to be confined for all eternity in a place of continual torment. But He says, throughout the ages which are to come, this one that we call Christ, there will never ever be some kind of folly again in which some ruling class will try to usurp the authority. He will rule forever and reign over all these ruling classes of angels. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And hath placed all things under His feet and gave Him, who? Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head over all things to us. Why is He the head over all things? Because He wants to bring us into an inheritance. What's in this inheritance? Oh, I don't have to be sick anymore. Yes. I don't have to be impoverished anymore. I don't have to be depressed anymore. I don't have to live out of something that I used to live out of. I am under the flow of His inheritance. And my world exists and consists not according to what they believe or what I'm told to believe as an illusion. See, an illusion can become a reality to you. And you'll swear on it. Unless you live out of this. The guy with the It's a Beautiful Mind or whatever that movie was. He was a genius, and it's a true story. He was an absolute genius. And he believed. He believed for years as a college professor that he was also working for the CIA. And he conjured up, you know, the world would call him bipolar, schizophrenic, whatever. He believed that the people that he was talking to was real. It was a reality to him. Some people say, yes, but that's a reality to them. It is. But just because it's a reality to them doesn't mean that it's a reality to God in the inheritance that He brought us into. And eternities to come, what we'll stand on and stand in front of Him is He'll have compassion on us now and bring us out of wherever we're at. But we'll not be able to step up and say, I could not do that because what opposed me seemed like more. It was a reality to me. And He'll say it was a reality to you. But nevertheless, My word stands sure. You had an inheritance. You did not have to believe the doctor's report. You did not have to believe the World Economic Report. You did not have to continually rehearse those things to the point that they became more of a reality to you than my words became to you. Glory be to God. Well, I'm sick and I got this. And listen, that's okay. But I know people, and God bless them, I think they feel more secure, like they're helping themselves get better over it when they Google it and go into 19 different hours of, I can tell you what I think's wrong with me. Because if this happens, listen, part of my, I hope this doesn't sound sadistic to you. And I'll clarify this because I don't want this to be misconstrued. I am not making fun of anybody that's sick. But Candy will almost stop cooking, or I'll almost stop doing what I'm doing to listen to the commercial of the side effects of the medicine. Take this for such and such. Side effects include bloating, swelling of the brain, loss of memory, blindness of the sight. I promise you, unless I was an illusion, I promise you, I heard one of them the other day say, and may cause loss of life. I am thinking, God, I'd rather die of the disease than take all that stuff. And I have used doctors for convenience. I have been to them before. And I'm not against them. But here's the problem. If you don't watch it, it's a tar baby. As soon as you stick it in and receive some of their care, they're going to tell you, but I think you may need to do this. And if you Google that, and that Googles that, and that, see, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, the right kind of faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there is a faith that comes by any kind of hearing. And the more you hear anything, you'll either have the God faith or you'll have the world faith. And you'll believe if you Google it. I just like to be informed. Okay, make sure that you're doing an equal to plus two times over. If you did 6 hours Googling, then do 12 hours of word research and confession of everything that you're standing in against that matter. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And a lot of times people... God bless them. God bless them. They'll tell you like 90 minutes of their symptoms. And then they'll put a footnote, a tag on it, just so you won't condemn them, or they won't condemn their own conscience. Oh, but I know God is my healer. Now, sweetheart, you can't talk and rehearse for 2 hours and then just tag something on it just for conscience sake. It doesn't work that way. It's not because he's keeping the record so much. It's just, it's convincing you. And if you get convinced that you don't have an inheritance, you will die. Hallelujah. And I appreciate you guys preaching with me. And I can see that. And I appreciate it. Hallelujah. He says this, he is which we... us, me and you, verse 23, are His body. And He says that we are His body, the fullness. Doesn't call Him the fullness, says we are the fullness of Him. The fullness of Him that filleth, what's He filling? He's filling us up with our inheritance to all the church. That filleth all the inheritance up that He's given us to all the church. Hallelujah. So I don't have to rehearse. I don't have to listen. Here's the tar baby. Yes, I've used the doctor a lot of times as a plug the hole while it's leaking, patch the tire while I'm going down the road to get me to my next destination. But I've had them tell me, "No, you're not. You'll never run again. Don't ever try that." And the only thing I knew was they said it was called a post-tibial tendon. Well, now that's enough. That's enough. I received an orthotic because I really felt God say go, because I was almost crippled. Couldn't hardly walk at one time. And all I wanted to know was, what is that?
Once I got that, I didn't Google it anymore. I didn't go past it. In the Word, all you find Him doing is, He didn't get real specific and say, I say, to the left, lower, lumbar area, to the right of the... You know, and sometimes I'll get a little specific up here because I'll feel it. But it's not in the specifics. It's in the level of your faith. All you ever find Him doing is spitting and wiping and saying you're healed. He didn't... That's about... Glory be to God. Now, I'd rather be healed than know why I was sick. Glory be to God. So you're not going to run anymore if you don't run anymore. Well, that was thousands of runs ago. You're not going to lift anymore. Basically, heavy. That was thousands of lifts ago. See, I don't discount them, and I'd use them again. The only thing is, one time a year or two ago, I had some old molds on the back of my neck, and just for cosmetic purposes, I wanted to look pretty. You know, I didn't want to, when I took my shirt off in front of Candy, I wanted to look pretty. And I just wanted to have those taken off. I went and taken them off. It was either the too much bacon that day, or too much salt on my eggs, or something. Anytime I've ever went in, I mean just impromptu, you know, I've had perfect blood pressure, perfect heart rate. I was even taking some sports stuff. I mean, good legal sports stuff at the time. It must have had my blood pressure just peaked up just a little bit above where, just not drastic, just on that edge, just on that edge. The guy, he's supposed to remove them all. He's telling me, I want to prescribe this blood pressure medicine for you before. Are you kidding me? You bite on that? Ooh. Oh! That thing becomes... You bite on that stuff? Now, I'm not talking about if you've got a real serious problem, then use wisdom and do what... I've never had a problem since. I knew that was a morning. I ate too much salt. I think I knew what supplement I was taking that had it. It wasn't even really in a danger. He said, it just looks like, you know. I said, no. I've never. You start biting on stuff. Because we got an inheritance. Amen. Glory be to God. Is this good stuff or what, Uncle Gerald? Hallelujah. And He's quickened us, chapter 2, in that we were dead in our trespasses, wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together. Hallelujah. You and me and Christ, all of us together. And I love the way the King James says this, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, earlier, it talks about that He set Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Here, He's made us. You ever been invited to a meal and you didn't know where to sit down at? And the guy said, sit here. And you said, nah, you're trying to be too humble. I'll sit over there. And nobody says, sit there. You're my buddy. I see that picture as we go into heaven and we're like, well, I cussed the cat last week. And I didn't, you know... I hadn't been doing so great, and you sit there. Well, I know you love... No, listen, boy, you don't understand it. I love you, but my son has paid too big a price for you to sit back there with your thumb in your mouth and act like you want to be humble. You sit up here where you're supposed to be because you're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay. You mean you want me to do this for His sake? That's right. He paid the price. So don't cheapen His price. He's made you to sit together with Him in heavenly places. I'll sit back here. I'll sit behind Him because I want to be humble. You're being prideful. He prayed for that price. He paid for it. Who in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His glory in the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, over in chapter 3, He says this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given unto me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery." What mystery? That's the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. "As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by His Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make," watch this, "all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by" who? Jesus. Colossians said all things were made by Him and for Him, whether they be things visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were made by Him. Now, why? He says that this mystery, the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. What kind of mystery is He talking about here? He's talking about the same mystery that we read in the prayer over here in chapter 1, that the exceeding, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand. Verse 18 said, the glory of the inheritance of the saints. This mystery that Jesus Christ was going to die, be resurrected, and in the wake of His resurrection, there was an inheritance given. What kind of inheritance? Oh, I'm going to be seated with the Father. But because you are my body and you are the fullness of my full expression on earth, you get everything that I get. If I have dominion over principalities and powers and over all rulers of darkness, then you're seated together with me in heavenly places. Hallelujah. That is your inheritance. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Why, Paul? Because of this intent. To the intent that now, in this dispensation which we all live, now at this time, unto the principalities and powers that are in heavenly places, that we are fighting against and who are fighting with us, warring always to keep us going forward, to this intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. What? Known what? This inheritance. Known by who? By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, to the intent, verse 10, look at it. To this intent, what has God got on His mind? Why is God revealing this mystery in us and through us? Because this, to the intent that now He wants principalities and powers in heavenly places, that they might know by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what was that eternal purpose? That He would be exalted to the head of the church. And He would be exalted into a heavenly place. And that this mystery come forth to all men. But now He says something very powerful. He says this, to this intent, God wants this mystery known by the church, us, to be preached and to be, it says, revealed unto principalities and powers. Let me tell you something. What he's saying is this. He wants us as the fullness of Him, His body, not to preach a message to principalities and powers, as in taking them to school and sitting them down and saying, let me academically train you and tell you, Christ has risen, He's seated there, and we're seated with Him. He could care less about fallen principalities and powers ever coming to an academic level. But what He does want you to know is this. You take them to school when you stand on this planet Earth and exact the power of your inheritance and say, He bore in His body my infirmity, principality, power, division, confusion, all of everything that is coming against me. Let me take you to school and show you the intent of my Father and prove to you that His fullness is still being left, is still being lived out in the earth by the inheritance of who I am. I am His son or daughter. I'm taking you to school today. Let me show you and prove to you that this gospel is in full effect. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He's not trying to take them to some time academic. You take all these wicked spirits to school and teach them. No. Here's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them who's boss. We're teaching them who boss is. Jesus, the risen one. And He has called us the fullness of Him that fulfilleth all in all. And we get to stand on this earth and say, Jesus, what You did is proven now to all of everything that exists. Not only to the ones that minister to us, but especially to those who oppose us. We prove to You on a continual basis because we believe the report of the Lord, not the report of this world. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Is that powerful stuff or what? Hallelujah. To the intent that now at this time under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. He's not talking about known as, oh, I get it, revelation. He's talking about known as in you taking the whole planet to school and saying, oh, stock market crashes. Cancer reports. Here's the report of the Lord. Now, some people will say, you know, you confess, you faith people. Well, if I died, would that prove it to you that I really was sick? You say this is an illusion. If I died, if you died believing that you had to be sick, you still died under an illusion, even though it was a reality to you. The reality is this. We're seated together with Him in heavenly places. But it's a fact. But it may be a fact, but facts are not truth. This is truth. And truth changes facts. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You just stand and worship God with me for a moment. I worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Word says when you come together, have a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. Marcia said there was a spiritual song coming up in her spirit. Hallelujah.
I just want to tell you that I love you. I just want to tell you that I care. I just want to tell you that I love you, and there's nothing that you and I can't bear. I just want to tell you that I love you. I just want to tell you that I care. I just want to tell you that I love you. And there's nothing that you and I can't bear. So when the enemy comes knocking, just run to the Lord's arms today. And as you sit in my presence, I'll be the one to answer the door. I just want to tell you that I love you. I just want to tell you that I care. I just want to tell you that I love you. And there's nothing that you and I can't bear. So come and sit in my presence. Come and sit in the presence of your Lord. And as you sit in my presence, you'll be changed forevermore. So come and sit in my presence. Sit in that heavenly place I created for you. Yes, come and sit and roll from that presence. And there's nothing that I can't see you through.
Prophetic words sung out. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Father, right now, as we begin to come to that close, our desire is to sit in your presence as long as you'd have us to sit, be a part of it. That you might all the more in the days ahead get us closer to the outpouring of your Spirit. Father, right now, touch our hearts in this place of provision. For you've provided a place that was supernatural from the beginning of all time for us who believe. That in this time, it has nothing, no bearing effect upon what you will not do for us. So I say that we have all the money is necessary for this outpouring. And everyone that joins themselves to that faith in you and says, let the Lord be magnified who taketh pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the young lions lack, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. I praise you and glorify you that your word is ample, amply sufficient to meet all of my need according to your riches and their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to bring the buckets and before you're dismissed or as you're being dismissed, if you have something to give and to bless with, certainly appreciate it. It is by faith that we live around here. And so God is laying on many of your hearts to be part of the ongoing investment of what He's doing. So just listen to Him and let Him bring forth that generosity out of your heart. Hallelujah. And then as you're bringing this forward, as we're practicing right now, just letting Him do whatever. Doesn't have to be a dyed in wool at every service we have to, but He's kind of put us on notice to catch. Be willing to be caught, I think. Just be willing to be caught.
So I think He's going to put a hook in our jaw on a lot of these services, and we don't know which ones. And they're going to follow over into impromptu services. Glory be to God. We'll be sitting here some Sundays when the youth come in, and we'll move to the back and let them school us. Hallelujah. It was one day a long time ago. I remember glory came, and we stayed and stayed until the youth came that night. And that, my friend, is not even the tip of the iceberg. That's not even the tip of the iceberg. Hallelujah. So, with all that, we lift it up, Father, and thank You for this offering time. And thank You that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, and thousands are born again in this revival. And thank You for everyone that contributes to it. God bless you. As you leave this morning, just be sensitive to anybody that is still in worship. Amen.